Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
Please understand what Paul was saying. If you don't have peace, there's something wrong with your prayer life. And I can tell you, I know exactly what it is. You don't trust God. You don't trust Him. You see, because if He doesn't give you the answer that you want, you'll have no peace. God says, don't do that. That's why to thank me up front, you have to trust me. Notice what He says, when you trust me, you're going to have a peace. And what I love about this, it's beyond your wildest dreams.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Have to understand the reputation of the Assyrians. Nineveh is a great city, but I remember reading years and years ago that for about 30 miles as you approach Nineveh from any direction to one of its main gates, at that mark they started putting posts in the ground with a point on the end of which they impaled people that they had conquered. And for 30 miles you would see the carcasses or the skeletons of people they had killed and conquered. So for 30 miles, you're walking to the gate of Nineveh and you're thinking, wow, these are rough people. You see, these are brutal people. That's what he is saying. Sennacherib saying to the people of Judah, don't you know who I am? Haven't you seen what the great Assyrian Empire can do? You see, what does that do? What does that provoke? Fear. He doesn't stop. He says in verse 14, who was there among all the gods of those nations which my fathers utterly destroyed, who could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you like this, and do not believe him. For no god or any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you from my hand? Now he's not only trash-talking against the people of Judah and Hezekiah, but now he decides to do something I wouldn't advise anyone to do. He decides to trash-talk God. Verse 16, his servant spoke further against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to insult the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of the lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah shall not deliver his people from my hand. They called this out with a loud voice in the language of Judah. He took his translators and said, speak to these people in Hebrew. I want them to understand what it is that I'm saying here. A loud voice in the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall. And here it comes. Why? To frighten and terrify them so they might take the city. They spoke of the God of Jerusalem as of the gods of the peoples of the earth, the work of men's hands. He said they compared God to a typical idol, trash-talking God. Now notice, all of that was designed to scare. All of that was designed to frighten. Limit the voices that influence your life. Lies propagate fear. They're there to frighten you and to terrify you. We live in that world. We call it media. That's what we do. It's 24/7. It never stops. And it's designed to frighten you. It never stops. And we're afraid of everybody. I mean, we're afraid of everybody. We're afraid of people all over the world and terrorists and every kind of bacteria or virus. We're afraid of everything. We're afraid of warming or cooling. We're afraid of people across the political aisle from us in our own country. We're afraid of everybody. Because we don't limit the voices. How many times have you heard a recent study shows? A recent study shows that eggs are no good for you. A recent study shows that eggs are good for you. A recent study shows that 5% of you are going to die of some really strange thing. A recent study shows that 10% of you are going to limp the rest of your life. A recent study shows, well, let's forget all the recent studies when it comes ultimately to fear. Let me just give you one truthful fact. 100% of you are going to die. That's a fact. Now, if you start with that, recent studies don't bother you much. You see, that's the point. It's all designed to make you fearful. And we're afraid of almost everything. I call that Chicken Little theology. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. Listen, we live in one of the better times to live in the history of man. You understand that? You see, it wouldn't sound like that, especially if there are things you want to be afraid of. Let me give you an example. I was just reading this past week, since the year 2001, both in Iraq and Afghanistan, we have lost a little over 5,000 troops. 5,000 troops. And it's tragic, and I hope it was worthwhile. In World War II, 72 million people died. 72 million people died. Put it in perspective. You see, now you're hearing something about Ebola. And it's interesting because this Samaritan Purse doctor, who was willing to risk his own life in Africa to help, has been brought back to the States, given the best treatment he can possibly can to fight this virus. And there were people actually, in a sense, responding on newscast saying, should he be allowed back in our country? A doctor who was willing to do this. And people are already afraid, what about Ebola? What about Ebola? Well, let's put it in perspective. In the 20th century, I'm not talking way back. This starts, by the way, all the way back to the ancient Egyptians. But just in the 20th century, more than 300 million people died of smallpox. 300 million. Get some sense of this. Think of how this works. Bubonic plague. One third of the people in Europe died. One third. Think of the downturns in our economy and compare it to the 20s in Europe and in the United States. We don't have any perspective of this. We're all afraid. And the reason that we're afraid is we're listening to the wrong voices. That's what happens to us. And by the way, it's so easy to see. We live in a place. You want to see how a fearmonger can work. It's on the news all the time, but we live in a particular place that all you have to hear is one word. Hurricane. It's a hurricane. There's a hurricane. It's only 6 miles off the coast of Africa, but there's a hurricane out there. And some of you get a knot in your stomach. I'm afraid. What can happen? Listen, one thing you know about a hurricane, it doesn't sneak up on you. It's just not the way it works. And why are we afraid? You see, what are we afraid of? We're afraid of a lot. We allow other people to influence us. And it creates fear in our lives. We listen to people who are paid to be pundits about doomsday. And sometimes we turn on over and over again the same people to make us more and more upset and more fearful. What are you doing? And by the way, you don't have to use just the media. If you're really prone to fear, I'm sure what you have is you have that special friend who's just as prone as you are. Sally, do you know what's going on out there? I know, I'm terrified. You just can't do that. You see, you limit the voices. The Assyrians were saying one thing, eliminate them. Hezekiah was speaking for God. Listen to him. You see, listen to him. That's what he is saying. If you want to live in fear, there's so many conspiracy boogeyman stories out there, you'll spend the rest of your life living in fear. Again, let me state it simply, but if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the worst thing that could ever happen to you can't happen to you. Get it? It can't happen to you. We have to live that way. So when facing an uncertain future, put your house in order, block off the bad, mend the broken, bolster the weak, and then put your heart in order. Deal with your fear. Put it in perspective and limit the voices in your life. And there's a third step, a very important one. Pray until peace comes. Pray until peace comes. Now, look how this story plays itself out. Verse 20, but King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, prayed about this and they cried out to heaven. Doesn't tell us what they exactly said, but they prayed about it. Hezekiah went to the great prophet and said, Isaiah, we got to pray. They understood what was going to happen. And by the way, it's kind of an interesting thing because the Lord answered this prayer. It says, and the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the Assyrians. There's a little bit more to the story, by the way. This story apparently is so important to God that it shows up in almost its entirety in three different places in the Old Testament. It shows up in 2 Kings, and it shows up in Isaiah 36 and 37. He says almost the same story. He wants us to get this story. So hold your place here and go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 37. In Isaiah 37 and verse 6, Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid. There it is again. Don't be afraid. Fear not. He says, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard. Don't let those voices influence you. He says, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. God says, I take this personal now. They were blaspheming me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear a rumor, and then he'll return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. That's what Sennacherib's going to happen to Sennacherib. Now watch how this plays out, the answer to the prayer. Verse 36 of chapter 37 of Isaiah. Verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead. Now you know what they were afraid of. That's an enormous army for that part of the world, that particular time in history. 185,000 men. It's interesting. I would imagine when he was building the outer wall or making the tower stronger, someone said, have you seen that army? He goes, no, but we're still going to do what we can do. He was proactive. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived in Nineveh. He heard a rumor. He said, I better go back to Nineveh. Now, it came about while he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, killed him with the sword. His own sons killed him. The great king. Now let's go back to the Chronicles passage. Picks up on the same idea. And he says, and the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land. And when he had entered into the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with a sword. And so the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, he says, from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. And many were bringing gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem and choice presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter. It's a wonderful ending of the story, but I want to understand something. What was it that he got? You see, there's a petition that we pray for, and there's a desire behind the petition. Almost anything you pray for, you'll say, there's something particular that I want because, and there's a desire for it. In this case, God answered, yes, yes. In a lot of cases, God will answer, no, no, if it's just a bad prayer. But a lot of times what God will answer is this, no, but yes. In other words, if I'm facing an uncertain future and I'm worried about fearing about it, what does God promise me? Peace. That's a promise. God promises you peace instead of fear. It's a promise of God. And you can count on it. Let's move to the New Testament, to Philippians chapter 4, a famous passage to illustrate this point. Philippians 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul writes, his first phrase is the imperative mood in Greek. It's a command. It says, be anxious for nothing. That's an interesting command, by the way. It's hard. Only God can command you to stop worrying. Hard to do that, isn't it? He says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, an anxious, worrying, fearful Christian from God's point of view is an oxymoron. You see, don't you dare. Don't become anxious. Don't you start worrying. Don't you start becoming fearful. Don't you do that. And then he says, but in everything, by prayer, there's the word you say, and supplication, there's your emotions, there's your heart. Pray your humanity, I always say. Lord, I'm confused. Lord, I'm uncertain. Lord, you know how I feel. He says, go ahead. Pray the prayer, and then pray with supplication, and then he says, with thanksgiving. Now notice, that's front-loaded. That's very important to understand about prayer. I'm thanking God when I'm praying about something that's uncertain in my future. I'm already thanking him. When do we want to thank him? When we get what we want. And then we say, God is good. You see, Jesus is great. Isn't God good? God was good and great before you prayed. He is certainly going to be good and great after you're finished. God is always good. God is always great. Therefore, I'm going to thank God. When I get what I'm praying for, no. I'm going to thank him in my prayer because he is good and he is great. Think of it this way. Let me illustrate that. Do you think Job had any uncertainty about his future? Let's see. He lost 10 children. What would that be like in one day? He lost all of his wealth. He lost his relationship with his wife. They were struggling. You could just imagine the stress they were under. Then he lost his health. Then he lost the respect of the people of the town. Then he started losing the respect of his three closest friends. And then he finds himself on a dump outside of town with so many sores and boils over his body that he has a clay pot and he's sitting in the dump scraping them. And you know what Job said? Even if he slays me, I will trust him. Thank you. Now, is that easy? No. No, that's the wrestling of prayer. I'm thanking you, Lord. I'm thanking you for the answer because understand something here. Hezekiah prayed, and what happened to the Assyrians? Well, they prayed, and the Assyrians were destroyed. Isn't that great? But by the way, not too long in the distant future, a bunch of people in Judah were praying their hearts out. And the Babylonians came and took them, conquered the city, put it in ruins, and took them to Babylon. You don't think anyone then was praying for the same thing that Hezekiah was praying for? Of course. You see, of course. That's not the promise of God. The promise of God is not, I will answer your prayer the way you want it answered. The promise of God is, I will give you peace. Instead of fear, I promise. Notice how it plays out. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'll give you the peace. Yes, I can pray about my health, relationships, companionship, financial security, all that. And God may answer yes, and he may answer no to my petition. But he said, I'll promise you this thing. I will answer yes to peace. I will give you peace. Please understand what Paul was saying. If you don't have peace, there's something wrong with your prayer life. And I can tell you, I know exactly what it is. You don't trust God. You don't trust him. You see, because if he doesn't give you the answer that you want, you'll have no peace. God says, don't do that. That's why to thank me up front, you have to trust me. Notice what he says, and when you trust me, you're going to have a peace. And what I love about this, it's beyond your wildest dreams. Just imagine that. It's beyond your wildest dreams. That's what he says. Surpasses all comprehension. It's the kind of, hey, I don't get that peace. Just imagine, as we fight life's final battle with pain, that we as a people have that kind of peace. By the way, we have had some instances of people like that. We have had people like that. And you know what they do? They affect everybody around them. Nurses, doctors. You see, there's a possibility that my last days will be an intensive care unit at a local hospital. You know, you'll be praying, at least I hope you will. And the question is, am I coming out of there? I don't know. And it doesn't matter. I know what God is saying. He said, I can have peace in there. That's what I want. You see, I want the peace. I want the peace. God says, I promise you the peace. You don't have to be afraid. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. You are with me. You see, that's what he is saying. Whenever we get peace, it's beyond our wildest dreams. And notice what he says it does. It guards my mind and guards my heart. From what? Fear. It guards me from fear. When you're facing an uncertain future, you need to put your house in order. You need to put your heart in order. And you need to pray until peace comes. By the way, peace is not the absence of scary problems. Peace is the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, I believe all of us can identify with what Hezekiah was fighting, an uncertain future. I thank you for his example. I thank you for his faith. I thank you for his perspective. Father, for each of us who have something on our heart right now that we are fearful of, it's uncertain of what will happen, we will learn this great lesson. We will first, though, at this moment, before it ever happens, we will put our house in order. We will put our heart in order. And Father, when it happens, we will pray until peace comes. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.